We're going to read together from Genesis and chapter 18, the first 15 verses, which is entitled The Three Visitors. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abram looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat, so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of the finest flour, and knead it, and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice, tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where's your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There, in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a child, a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abram and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. It's great to be with you. Thank you for praying, Lucy. Thank you for praying for me going to school. I was earlier at the assembly, and it was really good. It was one of those times where the connecting of a thought in your head with the school planning really worked. It was amazing. So just all through this week, I'd been thinking about how good it would be, because it was Valentine's Day on Thursday. It'd be really good to kind of do something about love and Valentine's, and how it's got so caught up in kind of the commercialism and the kind of that kind of looking for who's your favorite person type thing, and how that whole Valentine's Day was based after a guy called Valentine, who loved the least and loved those that were struggling and loved the martyrs, the Christian martyrs in Rome. And I was thinking, I should do something on that. But school have a syllabus that we have to follow. And so I thought I should just check to see what the syllabus is. And it was the theme was love. And it's a three-year theme. So it's kind of like it just happens to land on the thing. It was one of those, yes, thank you. It worked brilliantly. So thank you for praying. It is such a privilege to be able to go into school and share stories of God, both biblical stories and the workings of God in our time, with just an amazing group of people. So thank you for praying. Do continue to pray. Paul, Ruthie, and myself are regularly going in there on Wednesdays to pray for, to talk with the children. Let me ask you a question as we think about this passage today. What is your journey of faith? What has been your journey of faith? How has your faith grown over the last year? Has it grown over the last year? How has it grown since that first moment you met God? Did you grow up in a family that knew God and loved God and it was just part and parcel of life? Or did you have a moment of revelation? But just as we start thinking about this passage, let me just give you just a few moments to think about your own journey. What is your journey of faith? So as I was thinking about this reading today, and I'll dip into a little bit of the next bit of it as well, so beyond 15, and I'd encourage you to read that at your leisure but in the next week as well, and just continue to think about and ponder that idea of journeys of faith. If I was going to give this a title, I would say, who are we becoming? Who are we becoming? But let's just put this into context. We're looking at the story of Genesis, or the book of Genesis, and the story of God forming a people. And particularly over these last few weeks, we've been looking at Abraham and his journey of following God, starting with an encounter with God that told him to leave his home, to leave his place, and to travel, physically travel, to a new place. And there has been ups and there's been downs. There's been times of joy and there have been times of real struggle. There have been points where they've had to make significant decisions. And over these last couple of weeks, we've been looking at how God encounters Abraham in this journey. He encountered him at the beginning and told him to go. But 2 weeks ago, I was looking at that encounter that Abraham had had. He'd got to a stage where he just knew he needed to keep going, but he wasn't really sure. Is God in this? Was it really God? Am I doing the right thing? And God encountered him and met him. And we looked at the idea of God making a covenant, of connecting a relationship, a promise that was binding, that God instigated with Abraham. And we looked at the fact that that is our entry point into a relationship with God. That our journey might start in family, that our journey might start with a family that loves God and knows God. But at some stage and at some point, we encounter the relationship that God has with us through Jesus. And that covenant made, that he made for one and for all on the cross. And then Paul last week looked at the sign of the covenant for the old people, which was circumcision. But Abraham's journey continues. And for each of us, we have those moments. For some of us, we may not have yet had that moment. And you're listening thinking, I need that moment. I want to know all that Jesus has done for me. And if you're here today and you're thinking that, then come and talk to us at the end. But I think knowing most of you in the room, we all have had and we're on a journey of faith, that we know and love Jesus and are wanting to follow him. And so we have this passage in this story of Abraham. And we see a transition. We see a change in Abraham. Something has changed. There's a confidence about him, who he is, who God's made him to be, what he's done. Has he get it all right? No, of course he doesn't get it all right. But something has changed. That sense of entering into a covenant with God has given him a confidence. And so here we have Abraham. At a place mentioned the great trees of Mamre, and he sees three people arriving. He knows this is significant. He knows it's significant because he says, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord. Do not pass your servant by. These are not just three random people. Abraham knows that this is a significant encounter. He knows this is a godly encounter. And we find out later that there's three, but two of them are angelic beings, and one of them represents and is encountering is God. But interestingly, Abraham's response, as he grows in faith and grows in relationship with God, his first response is not, "What's your message? What do you want to tell me? What do I need to know?" His first response is worship. His first response is to entertain the guests that have come. The hospitality, the looking after, and the welcoming of God's presence. That's a shift. It's not about him and what he needs. It's not about his desire, the answers he needs for his questions. It's about hosting the presence of God, I would say. It's about recognizing God's presence in a place and saying, "You are so welcome." There's an act of cleansing. He offers water to clean the feet of the visitors. And he provides food. He kind of says, "Let's get a little bit of food for them." But then provides this fast banquet of food for them. At no point in this narrative does Abraham ask any questions of them. He just hosts these people, God's presence. But in the midst of that, a conversation starts. A conversation that returns back to this promise, the promise that was given. The promise that Abraham and Sarah had tried to fashion and form themselves. But God returns to this promise. So Abraham is still waiting. Still waiting, but knowing that this thing is impossible for them to do. And so we have this tension of Abraham, whose faith is growing, and that sense of knowing what God has said will happen, and that encounter that he's had, and Sarah still wrestling with it. And for some of us, I think that sense of waiting, we know God said something and we're waiting for God to do it. We're waiting for the thing that he's promised us individually and corporately. For some of us, we just know that's the place. And the challenge for us is, are we generous and hospitable with God's presence and God's people? But for some of us, there's an encouragement through Sarah as well, because she hears this conversation. And I think, as I read into it, I kind of felt like you can read it as a, "Look, Sarah's not got it right. Abraham, look how great he is. He's got it right. Sarah's got it wrong." But I think there's something in this passage that kind of God is kind of challenging Abraham as well, and kind of saying, "You're in this together." And so she laughs. "How is this possible? How is it going to happen? My body physically can't do this anymore. How is this going to happen?" So she laughs, I think quite understandably. And that starts a conversation. But Sarah was afraid. And so she lied and said, "I didn't laugh. God knows everything. He knows what happened. He knows that she did laugh." And I think for some of us, where we still continue to wrestle with faith, wanting to hold on to, when we think this is impossible, we can hear this and kind of think, God's disappointed with us. He's disappointed. We hear in that phrase when God says, "She did laugh, you did laugh," we hear a disappointment. But I think God is saying to us, be real. If you're not sure, don't be afraid to enter into that fearfulness. Don't be afraid to hold back what you're really thinking. Don't, if you laugh, laugh at the fact that this thing is impossible. But that's part of the relationship that God wants us to be in. Don't hide stuff away that you think God doesn't want you to do, and pretend that you're this person who is holding on really strongly to something and just kind of, "I'm just going to forget about it," and really that's kind of keep the other stuff in secret. I think God's wanting to draw Sarah out, to hold on to her uncertainty, so that he can speak into that as well. And I think that is the difference that we see in Abraham and Sarah, that Abraham's encounter of the covenant came out of his questions and out of his doubts and out of his uncertainty. And almost the challenge that he gives to Abraham is, why didn't you share that with Sarah? Why don't you share that with somebody else, those struggles, those difficulties? Because that's what I want to enter into. And so who are we becoming? Are we becoming people who are able to stand on God's word? Are we becoming people who are confident in working through the struggles and wrestles, being with people, not having to hide away our doubts and fears, but we can say to people in community, can you pray for me because I'm struggling with this? I don't get and understand what's going on. I think I've said a number of times, probably perhaps here as well, that there is in no way the same time scale, but there's a similarity to Natalie and I's story in this of the waiting for a baby. And that kind of, God, have you really said it? Do we really have to, what are we doing? How do we make decisions? It was part of our journey of going to New Zealand and living in New Zealand was that kind of, do we stay in Sheffield at that point and kind of just wait for a baby, or do we continue to engage with what God's saying? And it was all those wrestles. And again, similarity of someone, a prophetic person in New Zealand who just came to us one day and had a real sense of a timing for the baby that we would have that is now Matthew. And again, almost the same words. By this time next year, you will have had a baby. It was only 6 or 7 years, not the time that Abraham and Sarah have been waiting. It was still possible. Sarah, she knew her body. In some ways, it wasn't possible. So yeah, that's my question for us today. Who are we becoming? And are we allowing God to enter into all of our questions, all of our struggles? Are we allowing others to be a part of that? And just as we finish as well, I just briefly just say about the next section, which, as I say, I'd encourage you to read. But there's something beautiful about the relationship that Abraham is growing and developing with God in that. That there is a conversation, God almost has that conversation of, shall I tell Abraham what's about to happen? And he does. And then they have a conversation, they talk. That's the relationship of prayer. It's the relationship of intercession that Abraham has with God about a situation, a physical situation of Sodom and Gomorrah. Of what God is going to do, of what is going to happen in that place. And they to and fro, and will you save this? Will you do this? Will you engage? And I think that's part of who we are becoming. That we are in a season, particularly I think a season as a church, of waiting. We're waiting for things physically. We're still waiting for the building project. We're still waiting for a surveyor to give us a report so that we can move on to the next stage. We're still waiting to see fulfillment of some of the things that we've held in these last few years and that have been held as a church. We're still waiting to see some of the things that we have seen before. But in our waiting, are we a people who will talk and wrestle it with God? Will we be a people who will wrestle with God for our city and our communities and our households and our families? Will we be a people who, in our waiting, we actively seek and talk with God to see the breakthroughs come? So let's just take a moment as I finish, anyway, and God continues. What's he saying to you today? Where are you at in your journey of faith, your walk with God? Have you started? Do you know that moment of knowing that God, all that God has done for you and that Jesus has died for you, that changes everything? Are you able to be real about the struggles or the challenges and not just hide away in a tent pretending everything is all right? Father, thank you for the story of Abraham and Sarah. Thank you for how it speaks to us of our journeys of faith, of walking with you. And Father, I pray for each one of us today. Father, I thank you for the journeys we've done so far and the journeys that you have got to take us on. Thank you for the promises that you've spoken to us as a community and the promises that you've spoken to us individually. And as we wait, Father, I pray that you would form us into people who love you, who worship you, who engage with you in prayer and intercession for our city and our nations. And we pray it that we might all become who you've made us to be. And we pray it that we might see your kingdom come. In Jesus' name. Amen. As always, we're around, and if you'd like to pray, ask questions. Might not give you any answers, might not have any answers, but continue these conversations, and I say go away and read the rest of Genesis 18 as well, and just continue to ask God, what's he saying to you today? How does he want to encourage you, and how does he want to draw you on in your relationship with